Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
He won a victory. Hallelujah.
Read for me Mark 5 so that we can just catch up for those who haven't been around.
Mark chapter 5 and verse 1.
Let's take the volume now. Yes.
Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains have been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, for those who have been around, you'll remember that this is our foundation scripture, isn't it?
Amen.
And in studying this man's life, you realize that he was in a lot of troubles. But the strange thing was that in the midst of all these things that were happening, is that he had the strength and the power to break into pieces the shackles and the chains that were binding him. When I read that, I asked myself that where did this man have the strength to break chains into pieces? Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And the Bible says that when Jesus came to the country of the Gadarenes, there met him a man with an unclean spirit. So the source of this power was from this unclean spirit that gave him supernatural power, but at the same time was destroying him. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It gave him supernatural power, but at the same time, it was killing him. So many children of God and people who don't know God also, by their ignorance, tend to go to seek help in environments that are not of God. And whatever help that you are going to get there is what we are calling strange powers. It's strange. We don't know it because it's not of God. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You and I will both agree that God doesn't give unclean spirits. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, studying this man's life, we see the effects that one experiences when they go get help that is not from God.
Ge uya o nyaka thuso e sa tlhagi mo go modimo.
One of the things that we will see,
tselo gore re tla di bona,
is what we call demonic isolation.
Motho o o thoma go dula a nnoshi.
Where the enemy separates you from everybody.
Sira se a gontsha mo go bathong ba bangwe.
And the reason why he is doing that,
libaka a dira seo,
because he doesn't want anything distracting him. He wants to deal with you nicely.
O batla go dila ka wena.
Someone say nicely.
Nicely.
I heard somebody preaching and he said, if Satan prayed,
ge satane arapela,
not that he ever prays, but if he prayed,
ge ara akarapela,
he will say, Lord, please leave me and Nontlantla alone.
O tla re modimo ke kgopela nna le Nontlantla.
Let us fight. Don't help her, don't help me. Just leave the two of us alone.
O skwa mothusa, o skwa re thusa, re tlogele re le ba babedi.
And every time you will fight a spiritual battle from the perspective of the flesh, you will always lose. I listen to me.
Amen.
So the enemy will isolate you from people
so
that he can have you to himself. One particular lady said to me, Pastor,
Muruti,
I came to a point in my life where I believe that God is bad and Satan is good. You see, when that guy gets you alone, he will deal with you nicely. Also, acquiring this strange power causes demonic behavior. Now, I don't want to re-preach this message. Please get the, it's all recorded as Agatha has said. Please, I beg you, listen to it. If you are not yet collected, even if you are here, just get it again. So last week, I started talking about prevailing against the gates of hell. And I told you that the biggest thing that Jesus gave us,
Jesu arfile sona,
the greatest weapon that he gave us,
se arfile sona,
to enable us to overcome the gates of hell, is his word. He said to Peter, blessed art thou,
O sigufaditswe,
Simon Bajona.
Simon Bajona.
For flesh and blood,
na malimadi,
has not revealed this unto you.
Khadiya khopantsa tsena.
But my Father,
ntate waka,
in heaven.
Ko legodimong.
Then he continued to say,
Ari,
upon said thou art Peter,
Ari kwena Peter,
upon this rock,
molitlapeng lena,
I will build my church,
ke tla aga kereke
yaka, and the gates of hell,
the gates tsa di hell,
shall not prevail against
kasi di feng.
I decree the gates of hell shall not prevail against you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord. Now before the Lord asked that, he asked the disciples,
wila butisa barutwa ba gagwe,
and he said, who do people say I am?
Are batho ba re ke nna mang?
Nok papa. Tologam.
By being forward.
They started saying, some say you are this.
Bari babang bare o motho ona.
Some say you are that.
Babang bare o sela.
Some say you are that.
Babang bare o sela.
Then Jesus said, okay, fine. Who do you say
Jesus
that I am?
Okay, luna le ri ke mang?
Then there was silence.
Ba didimala.
Nobody could answer.
Auna o naka araba.
By the grace of God,
kamo hawa mudimo,
Peter received revelation from heaven.
Peter a amogela kutullo.
Said, thou art the Son. Thou art the Christ.
Arkwena Kreste.
The Son of the living God.
Murwa mudimo ya pilang.
So, the key thing,
sinotolo,
that will save you,
se sita go tshireletsa,
from the oppression of the devil,
mo go se satane a se dirago,
from the devil accessing your life,
gore satane a ska tsena bophelo ba gago,
is the word of God.
Ke lentswe la Modimo.
Can you push your neighbor and say the word of God?
The word of God.
That's the key thing. That is what will keep Satan away from your life. I tell you, that's the key thing. I don't care which prophet says what. I don't care even if that prophet raises people from the dead. If he doesn't give you the word of God, he or she is a strange power. Some of you are not saying amen. Do you disagree with what I'm saying? I'm watching you very carefully. Now, read with me Mark chapter 13 and verse 22.
Mark chapter 13 and verse 22.
Yes.
For false Christ and false prophets will arise.
Pause there. Are you there? I hear some Bibles turning. Please, Mark chapter 13, verse 22. All right. Yes, sir.
For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
False Christ. False prophets shall arise.
Ba profita ba maka ba
tla ka hona. To deceive. Huh? And they will show signs and wonders.
Batla bontsha metlholo le dilo tsa go makatsa.
Remember Jesus said they are false.
Jesu orile ke ba maka.
They will show signs and wonders. Signs and wonders.
Batla bontsha metlholo le dilo tsa go makatsa.
And the Bible says that to the point that they will almost deceive the elect of God.
Batla bakala hlaliba bakhethuleng ba modimo.
This is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen.
Se sikotsi ba gaeso.
The only salvation from this deception that will come on the earth.
Puluso e tla re tshireletsa mo go se tla
is the word of God.
Ke lentswe la modimo.
It's very important. Those of you who watch the news, you'll be aware that a certain pastor is currently in court as we speak. I don't want to mention names. A certain pastor. And this pastor, I don't want to say too much, but for those who don't watch the news, apparently, he's a very powerful man of God.
Ki moruti ona le matla.
But what he does,
se asietsang,
is he takes certain girls in the church,
o tsia banyana go kerekeng,
and lives with them,
o dula le bona,
and will molest them.
Abe tswenya.
Like on Saturday last night, he would have been busy. Then today. You would have been here. Say hallelujah.
A ring hallelujah.
Exactly like that. And then I hear that he started suspecting that people in the church know what he's doing. Then he stood up in church when he was preaching. And he said, some of you, especially you parents, you think I'm sleeping with your children? That time is busy. Then he said, even Solomon had many wives and concubines. And the person who was saying this said the church started laughing. And I said, look at what happens when people do not take the time to search for themselves. Because if you just go and read, you will realize that Solomon's multiple wives and concubines took him away from God. destroyed his relationship with God. To the point that Solomon was building altars for other gods.
Solomon athoma go aga dintlo
because he was marrying women who were not from Israel.
Nanyala basadi ba sa tlhagi ko Israel.
One of his first wives was from Egypt.
Omongwa basadi ba
rena tlhaga Egypt. They worship everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, anything that is worshipable, they worship it.
Totle ko Egypt.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But here's this man
Bonna ona.
Using that as reference for what he is doing to justify themselves. And the church is taking it nicely. Hey, amen.
Kereke ba amogela seo.
I also hear Mamruto was telling me yesterday that in another church, I don't want to mention names today. People in that church can marry 2, 3, even 7 wives if they want to. And do you know how they justify the marrying of the 7 wives? They quote a scripture from Isaiah. And they say, one of you will have 7 wives.
But seven.
But if you go to the same scripture and you just read just from the top down, you realize that God was cursing the children of Israel for their disobedience. Now somebody has taken that and said, ha! I can marry 1, I can marry 2, I can marry 3. And the church is saying, amen. And when they marry, you see how I call people here? When they marry wife number 3 or 4, all the other wives will be in front of the church. They all were white together. That time, everything they are doing is based on a curse. Because people will not read for themselves. And as a result, the devil will always have access into their lives. To destroy them. To kill them. Another pastor. I don't wanna mention names. He was in another church. You know who I'm talking about. And in that particular church, the founder was a man of God called John G. Lake.
John G. Lake.
Heavily anointed man of God. He was so anointed that if, for example, he was staying here in Mafias, no one in the Mafias will be sick. That's the level of anointing that he had that man. In his home, every day, Monday to Monday, there'll be always a queue of people who are sick. And when he would lay his hands on them, they would be healed. It came to a point that while he was preaching, his spirit will leave his body, go overseas. He will see himself praying for someone. And then he will see himself coming back and continue preaching like he was preaching. And when he finds out, the person he went and prayed for would be healed. This man was heavily anointed. And this pastor who started that church was in that ministry. So he came to a point where he wanted to marry a second wife, this pastor. And so they told him and said, no, brother. The Bible says a deacon or a bishop shall be the husband of one
wife.
And he said,
no, you people are white.
You
don't understand. Me, I'm black. In my culture and tradition, we can marry more than one wife. So he left that church and started his own church where he can marry more than one wife. That was how that church was birthed. And because people won't read for themselves, they will come and sit there in the numbers. I hear that that church is the largest church in South Africa with 10 million members. Can you see the danger of not reading for yourself? Not reading for yourself. There will be false Christs. There will be false prophets that will rise. Who will show signs and wonders. But the aim is to deceive. So many people, when they see the sign and wonder, they say, wow. I'm not moved by the sign and wonder. I want to hear the word. Before I can follow the sign and the wonder, I want to, because God said, test all spirits. The only thing I can use to test is the word of God. You are too quiet today. Am I preaching to you?
Amen.
Tell a neighbor, say, don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, something has been troubling me recently concerning my church. That I've been crying in my heart towards the Lord concerning this particular issue. And I have discovered that a lot of my church members have not met the Lord. And I'm praying for you that you will meet him. Now today, for a short time, I want us to study a certain gentleman in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, from chapter 21. 2 Kings, chapter 21, we'll be reading from verse 1. Now, when you get home, I'd like you to read chapter 21 and 22. Read the whole chapter. But this morning, because of time, we'll be jumping. Amen. 2 Kings, chapter 21. I'll be reading from verse 1. If you are there, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you are not there, say, wait for me. All right, I'll wait for you. 2 Kings is in the Old Testament, chapter 21.
Chapter 21.
We'll be reading from verse 1.
Rotoma gobala verse 1.
2 Kings. 2 Kings. Hallelujah. As a church, we are starting to prepare for our Easter conference.
Ritomile rilukisetsa Paseka.
So March will be very busy.
Utaba busy ka March.
I humbly ask you to participate in everything that we are doing. Amen.
Amen.
Are you in 2 Kings chapter 21? Is it in your Bible?
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father. Hallelujah. I'll read verse 3 again. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. So this guy, he was, in today's time, he was a pastor.
Nele Moruti.
He was the king over the children of Israel. And he caused the children of Israel to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. Are we together? Verse 4. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. So it went to the point that they were doing these things in the house of God. They will build altars in the house of God to worship foreign gods. Can you imagine? Verse 6, And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Verse 9. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Let's jump to verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 20. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did, and he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them, and he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's jump to chapter 22 from verse 1. Now, I just want you to follow me. There's a gentleman called
Manasseh,
who was the king of Judah, did evil in the sight of the Lord to the point that he was leading God's people. Imagine a pastor leading God's people to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and what have you. He had a son, and his son did exactly the same. Are you listening to me? Now, chapter 22 from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. If you want names for children, there you go. Verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Let's jump to verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now, What was happening here that there was a king, he reigned for some years, then he died. His son became king and he reigned for some years and he died. Now his grandson had become the king. When the grandson became the king, the house of God was in shambles. So he started commanding that they repair the house of God. While they were repairing, they discovered a book. And one of the high priests, the priest rather, came and said, I found a book in the house of God. In other words, all these years, nobody was reading the Bible. And these are children of God. I'm not even talking about the heathen. For two generations,
for the Chabatsepedi.
No, even the people who are calling themselves priests,
Libaba pizza or kibaruti,
nobody was reading the Bible.
Auna ona bala Bible.
Until as they were cleaning the house of God, they bumped into a book.
Ba fumana buka.
They gave it to a certain gentleman and he started reading it.
Ba muba famoto atoma go bala.
Let's jump to verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. So when they started reading the book, when the king heard what was in that book, he became distraught. To the point that he tore his clothes. Because what they were doing versus what was in the book, total opposites. I'm talking about children of God. Total opposites. That's why they were worshipping other gods in the house of God. That's why they were bowing down to the sun and to the moon in the house of Jehovah. Because for generations, nobody would take a book and just open it. It even got lost in the house of God. Nobody was even there. And people were being ordained as priests, pastors, prophets, but nobody would even knew that there was a book. This is what is happening in our generation.
Today.
Some people go to church and the Bible is not even open.
But to buy a kerikeng, a ubuliwili Bible,
not even open.
I buliwi Bible.
But what I like more than anything,
seki sirata ang kufita tsotle,
is that when this King Josiah heard,
he kosi Josiah utwa,
what was written in the book,
se ne siku etimo booking,
immediately,
kana koyeu,
he reacted.
Wile wabali se asitirago.
And that is the problem I find in many of God's children today. You know, they are using the breastplate of righteousness for the wrong reasons. When the word is trying to enter the heart, the breastplate is blocking off. Nothing is entering anymore. No matter how we can preach. But this Josiah, when he heard the word, it moved him. Somebody say, it moved him.
It moved him.
I wonder whether the word of God still moves you. Some of us have become so familiar that even if I say Mark chapter 5, you don't even feel like opening it. Yeah, I know it, Pastor. Don't bother yourself. It's a sign that it stopped moving you. But this man, when he heard, he was moved. Some time ago, I told you about the access points that the devil uses to our lives. And I said one of them is music. Some of you, last night, just last, not 2 weeks, last night, you were busy opening the gates of hell.
No bloody gate.
Tenang.
Come in.
Just last night. The word doesn't have power in your life anymore. When you hear, you are no longer moved anymore. When you hear, you are no longer touched anymore. When you hear, you no longer receive anymore. But this gentleman, when he heard and looked at his life and looked at the people of God, he was moved. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
So he sent some of these priests to a certain prophet. He said, please inquire of the Lord concerning the book that we have found. And the Lord spoke, you read when you get home, but I want us to zoom into verse 19. Let's start from verse 18. The Lord said, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus said the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. So the Lord says, Mr. Josiah, when you heard what was in my word, the Bible says, your heart was tender. Somebody say, tender heart.
Tender heart.
Now, many of God's children's hearts are far from being tender.
Bana, di pilotsa bana ba modimo di khole.
Tender means soft.
Le gore di be soft.
Many of our hearts are rock hard.
Di pilotsa rona di tiile.
Rock solid.
Di tiile thata.
Nobody can tell you anything.
A gona o wa ka go botsa sepe.
I knew you won't say amen. It's okay. I'm preaching to myself. How do you know whether your heart is tender or
not?
Are you still moved? Are you still touched? Do you still receive? If you have stopped receiving, you are no longer moved anymore, then your heart has become like a rock. Even as God is trying to reach out to you through his word, it has no effect or effect on you because it's too hard. Quickly read for me Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Quickly, I'm running out of time. Ezekiel 36 from verse 26. Oh, read 25 and 26.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25.
Uh-huh.
Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh.
The heart of what?
Stone.
Hey. Someone say, neighbor, just check your heart, please. Check your heart. Read one more time, verse 26.
Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see that your heart can become like a stone.
Pilo ya gago ya kgona go tshwana le letlapa.
It's no longer soft.
Ga e sale soft.
It's no longer tender.
Ga e sale soft.
Read quickly Matthew chapter 13 verse 15. Quickly, quickly. Matthew chapter 13 verse 15.
Matthew 13 and verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their ears have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them.
The heart has turned dull. My Bible says the heart has become thick. Thick. So many of God's children, their heart has become too hard for the word of God to have an effect.
And
when your heart has become too hard, all the things I was saying last week will not happen. You will no longer have that protection of helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and so on and so forth. Because when you hear, the seed cannot enter into your heart because it's rock solid. But this Josiah, when he heard, his heart was tender.
Soft.
May your heart be tender.
Amen.
May your heart be soft.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tender also means, I have to read this. It also means penitent. Someone say penitent. And to be penitent means you are ready to repent. In other words, as I'm preaching to you, you must be ready to change whatever you have to change in your life. If you're not saying amen, you are fighting me already. Can I hear a loud
amen?
So to be tender-hearted also means that as you are listening, whatever you are hearing, you are ready to do whatever you have to do in your life to change your life to align with the word of God. Many people just come here and just, it's a show. Pastor preached today. Young. And then next week, hey, it's a pastor today.
Muruti kacheko.
Yeah, Marae today, yeah. It's a show for you.
Ki a show for wena.
You don't come with the intention that whatever I'm coming to hear, I'm ready to do whatever I have to do so that my life aligns with the will and the word of God. This guy, as he heard the words of God, his heart was ready to do whatever he had to do. Was ready. That's why so many years ago, when I was reading my Bible, and I saw how that Saul was being troubled by an evil spirit.
Saul,
and when David came and he sang, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," the evil spirit left him. When David left, the evil spirit came back. When he sang, the evil spirit, I said, "Music."
Music.
When I saw it, My heart was ready to make the necessary changes. I went and I destroyed all my worldly music so that no devil can survive around me. No devil can have access into my life. But many people's hearts are,
he's
mad.
Never.
If only your heart could speak loud so that we can all hear. I know you won't say amen today. You don't like what I'm saying. Then the Lord said to him, and thou has humbled thyself.
I love it.
So this man, when he heard, number one, his heart was tender. And number two, he humbled himself. Now, humility is the opposite of pride. In other words, when he heard the word, he did not become proud. If this is the word, he humbled himself. He brought himself below the word. And he said, the word is higher than me. Read Psalms 138:2. Quickly. 138:2. Psalms 138:2.
Psalm 138:2. I'll worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name.
For you have magnified your word above all thy name. When Moses came, when Moses saw that burning bush, and the Lord told him that I'm sending you. Moses said, Lord, but I'm sorry to ask, who are you? And the Lord said, I am that I am. In other words, when you hear my name, that is me. My name speaks of who I am. I am Jehovah Jireh. In other words, I'm a God who provides. And he says, thou has magnified your word above yourself. God himself has magnified his word above his name. All that he is.
Sailing son.
You, when you hear the word of God, you will not humble yourself. You will not align yourself. You see yourself as equal. You are not ready to change whatever you have to change. The word is not higher than you. Do you understand what I'm saying? For the word of God to become a shield to you. For you to be built and empowered by the word of God. For you to start receiving, like Peter, divine revelation from the Father. You have to humble yourself. And the Bible says, thou has humbled thyself. Not that God humbled you. You took the decision to humble yourself. To bring yourself below the word. In other words, the word is higher than me. If the word says this, I have to do it. I'm humbling myself. Many Christians will not humble themselves. Just yesterday, our children. That's why the electricity left us now. So Some Christians,
just
tomorrow,
sasa,
they'll be going to seek for strange powers.
Thank you.
Just tomorrow. They won't humble themselves. They will not put the word of God as a high standard with which they must align their life with. You don't look like you understand what I'm saying. Are you hearing me clearly? In the book of Revelations, John had a vision. And he saw God sitting on his throne. And on his right hand, there was a book. And this book had seven seals. And the Bible said nobody could open them. And John started crying because nobody could open the book. The Bible says, the angel came and said, don't cry, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah cometh to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. When he went towards the book, he was a lion. When it was time for him to read the book, the Bible says, the Lamb of God, he humbled himself. Even Jesus becomes a lamb when it comes to the word of God. Humbles himself. That's why many people, 5 years they are Christians, no change. 10 years they are Christians, no change. In fact, now they are even regressing. Now they are drinking more than they drank before. Now they are partying more than they partied before. Because the heart is not tender.
Soft.
And because they are proud.
Bakodimo.
If God says you must pay your first and best,
who?
Do you know how hard I work?
Now what ziba kibereka tatha?
Do you know what is my tithe?
What ziba tithe yaka?
Push and never say humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
Ikokobetse. You are too big that even the word cannot tell you what to do. My God, in the book of Songs of Solomon,
go booking your Songs of
the Bible says there is a time for love. A time. In other words, you can't just be, you are 12 years old, I'm in love. Nonsense. Which love are you talking about? The Bible says there's a time. Please push your neighbor and tell them there's a time for love, please.
There's a time for love.
Can't just be falling in love anytime. There's a time. You're a small child, you've had 5 boyfriends already. You're on the 7th girlfriend. There is a time. But if you will not humble yourself, you just do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want to do, there is no authority over your life. So you must humble yourself and choose that the word of God is the authority over my life. You must make that decision. He humbled himself. When you start reading with a tender heart and humility, you will start seeing practical changes in you. That's why many Christians, some of you sitting here, you bribe like there's no business. When you're trying to get a job, you say, hey,
they want money.
The world we live in,
when should I come back?
Cold drinking, yeah, cold drink.
It's for cold drink.
You are a Christian, you are living by giving people cold drink. You are living by giving people chocho. As a child of God, it's a sign that when you hear, it's a sign that when you read, your heart is not tender. You're not humble. When I was going for my driver's license, I failed 3 times.
Ke ile ka e buseletsa 3 times.
I said, I will not pay anyone anything.
Nka se patele motho.
And I went, it's embarrassing to fail, I tell you. It's not easy. But I said, I will not bribe anybody.
Nka se bribe motho.
When I went for the 4th time,
I
said, Lord, I don't want to waste my parents' money. Failing. So if I fail now, I'll wait till I can do it myself. But one thing I won't do is I will not bribe anybody. And I said to my Father in heaven, I said, whether I pass or whether I fail, it doesn't change who you are to me. You are still my God. I'll keep following you. I'll keep serving you. My relationship with you is not based on whether you give me a license or not. What a shallow relationship is that? Many of you, your relationship with God is based on a job. The day you lose your job, your relationship with God is finished. Some of you, the day you get a job, your relationship is finished. Your relationship with God is based on things. The day you marry, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Because it's based on what God can do for you. You are not in love with Him. You are not His son. You are not His daughter. You are not His friend. Whenever He stops giving you something, that's where the relationship ends. Then you start seeking for strange powers. Who else can help me? I said to him, whether you give or don't give, you are my God. Recently I said to the Lord, I don't care, even if somebody will come and do the most fantastic miracle, walks on air and flies, I will never follow them. I will follow you and you only in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do I pray such prayers? Because when I read, my heart is ready to hear. It's ready to repent. My heart is humble. Whatever I see in the word of God, I'm ready to do. I started paying my tithes when I was a student. And the way that my mother used to give me money, or my parents, if I need 10 rand to catch a taxi, 10 rand to come back, 5 rand to eat food, how much is that now? 25. They will give me 25 like that. It won't be surplus. It will be exactly what I need. Exactly. Why are you looking back? Then I went to a certain friend of mine, Pastor Temba.
Pastor Temba.
And I said to him, I have an issue. I know that I have to pay tithes. But the money I get is exactly what I need. So I don't have surplus to pay tithes. And I thank God for what he said to me. He didn't listen to my logic. He said, you have to pay tithes. That's all he said. You have to pay your tithes. So I said, my God, what do I do? So I started being creative. My pastor used to have a shop where I was studying. So certain days, I will stay around on purpose to come back with him so that I have some surplus money to pay my tithes. Then after some time, I said to my parents, I don't want you to give me money every day. Give me for the month. Then I will arrange. I promise I won't come to ask for more money. Just give me for the month.
Then
I will arrange. Then I could now start paying my tithes. Why? Because I humbled myself to the word of God. I don't allow my logic to be higher than the word of God. I don't allow my reasoning to be higher than the word of God. The word of God is the standard for my life. I have decided it is the authority over my life. Whatever is written there, that's what I do. Even if it doesn't make sense. Job said, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. When my life is backtracking and my life is upside down, I still trust him. He's all I have. And I tell him that if you don't help me, I'm finished. You are my everything. You are my all in all. I've got nobody to go to but you. He's my everything. As a child of God, I want to encourage you to be tender-hearted where the word of God is concerned. To humble yourself where the word of God is concerned. That is where we will start seeing God moving in our lives. That's where we will start seeing him visiting you. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'll wake up to his voice and I'll hear him saying, I love you, my son. I've humbled myself. I am his. I'm his. Push your neighbor and say, are you listening to what is being said? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do I still have time? Let's read one last scripture, then we will close. Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6. I can't wait for our retreat. This Sunday messages are too short. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. To verse 6. If you are there, please read for me.
Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him.
He came where?
To his own
country. Okay, continue.
And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And that wisdom in which is given to him.
Read that again. Read it nicely now. Start verse 2 again.
Verse 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands?
Mm-hmm.
Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his relatives, and in his own house.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus came to this, the Bible says, his home country. And started preaching. The preaching was with power. When I studied the scripture, it says that his teaching was full of divine wisdom. It's like teaching they have never ever had anybody teach before. And as they were astonished like that, and as they were in wonder and in awe, they said, hey man, Emanyana, we know this boy. He grew up here. He was full of mami nanyana mo.
I saw him.
I even used to wipe him every now and then. And when their logic they came higher than the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus could not do anything there except heal a few people. No great works could be done in his hometown. Because you see, pride equalizes. And it nullifies the word of God. So you have to take the decision to humble yourself, to submit under the word of God. It's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Push your neighbor and say, humble yourself. By the side of the Lord.
By the side of the Lord.
And he will lift you up.
And he will lift
Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands properly for Jesus and celebrate. Amen. So for you to be able to prevail against the gates of hell, these two things that I've taught you today are extremely important. The power that is in the word of God will never be manifest in your life until you are tender-hearted and you humble yourself where the word of God is concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're a Christian, you are here, you've noticed you have been a Christian for 2 years and no change. It may be that your heart is rock solid. It's been 10 years, you are not closer to God. After 10 years of being a Christian, you can't quote a scripture. There's no scripture that touches you, that you can talk about, that you love, is a sign that the heart is hard. But should we come and talk about Orlando Pirates and Chiefs of yesterday? Then we will hear your heart. I knew you won't say amen. It's okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to pray for a minute or two and ask God that we want to be like that gentleman Josiah, whose heart was tender, whose heart was humble. We want to be like him. When we read the word of God, we want to receive. Are you here, somebody?
Amen.
Open your mouth and begin to pray. Talk to the Lord and ask him to touch you.
Mandele yandere bo sahata bahara bayada bahala briantus. Rabba bayandele be shete beata kabata bahala mayantus. Lord, pray for humility.
Pray
for humility, our Father. The Lord will be like Josiah. The Lord, when we read, our hearts will be soft. Rate yanto le montes. Pray that, Lord, you will grant us humility. That you remove the proudness in us, that thing that fights the word. Oh, Shahandele Beyandere Moyantus. We ask the Lord, you help us to be humble, a humble people.
La barabasha kapakatarabashokodos.
A humble people.
Yaka parabasha kariapokos.
Shekeriata baharaba.
Mila do de brozevaka bakatabakutapakayaka.
Help me, Lord.
Repaka pariaka pakotorobusha. Le pateria pandere boshiandara barus.
Help me, Father.
El geboria bravero glubriara zubrovusiaros.
Help me, O God, I ask you.
Father, we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church will say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you are blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.